We heard, first of all, from the Isaiah passage about how the dispossessed people of God would, at the rising of God, be brought back once again. And even then, their joy would be complete. And people from as far afield as Midian, Ephah, and Sheba should come, and come bearing gold and frankincense to give them. And the wonders would be complete, and all those who had had to flee far off would all be brought again home with God. Paul, in the Ephesians passage, shows how the promise of God, the eternal purpose that was carried out in Jesus Christ, was opened out to the Gentiles as well. The first vision from Isaiah was very much a vision, yes, for the whole world, but started off by God arising amongst the special people of God, the Jews, and then all nations coming to them. This was a widening out of the vision through Jesus, that with Jesus' coming, actually God would go out to every single nation and bring that light, that salvation to them. That God's child, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, would go to the nations rather than having all the nations come to him. So that's the background for the story we have in the gospel today. And the gospel story itself starts off being quite amusing because it says that the wise men from the east come, but they start off by going to the wrong place. They start off by going, fair enough, if you're looking for a new king, you might consider going first of all to the palace of the old king. Well, that is indeed what they do, but their visit, rather than causing joy, causes great consternation. They go, which king? Who told you about a king? And Herod then decides that he's going to put into place a plan that will mean that no king can arise that's not of his household. Go and find out where this king is going to be born, and let me know as well, because I also wish to pay him homage, he said. That wasn't in his heart at all, of course, but the wise men set off from that place. And isn't it interesting that the star once again appeared once they started going in the right place? But their journey was long, and their journey was particular, but their wisdom was such that when they saw that star above that place, they didn't go, well, I wonder if this is the place. I wonder if we've got it right. They went straight in. And they went straight in, and they didn't worry the fact that this was not a rich household. This wasn't in a palace. They went straight in, saw the child with the mother and father, and went in and knelt down and paid him homage. So they traveled all that distance, and no matter what got in the way, that vision they still kept in front of them of the light of God, the star in the sky, showing the place where it would be revealed to them the truth, the shepherd coming to shepherd God's people Israel had come here, and they recognized it. And they were overwhelmed with joy. They were delighted. They had reached journey's end. It's a wonderful vision, isn't it, for the following of God's light in your life. That there ahead of you, you have been told to go, and ever onwards, no matter which way it twists and turns, no matter which way the road goes, God is there. And when the light suddenly shines, you are overwhelmed with joy. I wonder what those men, those wise people, saw when they went in. How did they know? They saw the star overhead, fair enough. But what was it upon seeing that baby that changed everything? That child. What was it about that situation, that sudden recognition of the truth of God in that one person? I'm very fond of the poem, The Journey of the Magi, by T.S. Eliot. And this follows very much the journey that those magi took, whether coming into overcrowded places, whether journeying over good weather or bad, whether being charged high prices where they went. But they end up asking a strange question. One of the questions that the wise men ask, the narrator of the poem, were we led all that way for birth or death? It's an odd one, so I'll just read you the last part of the journey of the Magi and just remind you of the words if you've not heard it before. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again, but set down this. Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. There is something significant about the fact that the Isaiah passage says they will bring gold and frankincense, but the wise men bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, myrrh was a perfume, and it was used as a perfume, so it's not so strange a gift to bring, but it had a definite link with also the embalming of the dead. And it's interesting that in the Eastern churches, that the Epiphany is linked with also the baptism of Christ. So there is something there of the going down into the waters and leaving behind the old life and rising up again into a new life. Because for the wise men in the T.S. Eliot poem, there was no going back to the old ways. Once they had met with Jesus, once they had been there and experienced that moment, how could they return and everything was as before? Notice it says, with an alien people clutching their gods. Because everything had changed. And that's the thing about an epiphany, about a realization of a truth in an instant, in a moment. That those wise men, upon seeing Jesus, saw something utterly different. That was journey's end. But there was no use in thinking that was nice, we'll just go home again. Everything had now changed. Their life was different. That which had been finished and now was what would be now. And everything did change with the coming of Jesus onto earth. Because that is God coming to earth amongst us. Nothing could possibly be the same after that. And once we in our lives realize who Jesus is, how can we not be transformed by that knowledge? How can that not make a difference? That God was not content to stay up there, to see everything from a distance, but that God came right amongst us. God didn't just grab at power and say, well, you do as you're told because I'm God. But God came in utter weakness as a child. How can we not be transformed that God cares about the tiny things of daily life? God just doesn't care about all the big things and leaves the rest to us. God is there every moment. No matter how important, no matter how seemingly unimportant, God is in every breath we take in and out. And that realization that God would so choose to throw in God's lot with us, in completely, completely in with us, present in every part of our lives. That surely would transform us and transfigure us and make each and every moment of our existence special and hallowed and incredible. Amen.